Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 14, King Chitraketu's Lamentation, beginning with text number 13. I'll just read text number 13 to 17. Natasya Sampada Sarva Mahisho Vamalochana Sarva Vamasya Vushtayam Abhavan Pritihetava. His queens all had beautiful faces and attractive eyes, and yet neither his opulences, his hundreds and thousands of queens, nor the lands of which he was the supreme proprietor, were sources of happiness for him. Tesyaikadatu bhavanam angira bhagavan rishi lokananu charanetan upagachad yadat yadrichaya. Once upon a time, when the powerful sage named Angira was traveling all of the universe without engagement, by his sweet will he came to the palace of King Chitraketu. Text 15. Tam pujayitva viditvat pratyuta narta nadivi kritat tityam upasidat sukhasinam samahitaha. Chitraketu immediately stood up from his throne and offered him worship. He offered drinking water and edibles, and in this way performed his duty as a host to a great guest. When the Rishi was seated very comfortably, the king, restraining his mind and senses, sat on the ground at the side of the Rishi's feet. Maharshis tam upasinam prashrayavanatam shitao pratipuja maharaja samabhas yedam abravit. O King Parikshit, when Chitraketu, bent low in humility, was seated at the lotus feet of the great sage, the sage congratulated him for his humility and hospitality. The sage addressed him in the following words. Angira uvacha api te anamayam swasti prakritinam tatmanaha yata prakritivir gupta puman raja cha saptivi. Angirovacha apite namayam swasti prakritinam tatmanaha yata prakriti virgupta kuman raja cha saptivi. Angira, the great sage Angira said, api, whether, te, of you, anamayam, health, swasti, auspiciousness, prakritinam, of your royal elements, associates and paraphernalia. Tata, as well as atmanaha, of your own body, mind, and soul. Yata, like prakritivi, by the elements of material nature. Kuptaha, protected. Puman, the living being. Raja, the king. Cha, also, Saptivi by seven. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The great sage Angira said, "My dear King, Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai, Jagannath Lord Baladev Srimati Subhadra Devi Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gauranithai Ki Jai." What's the official time now? 4:15. The great sage Angira said, "My dear King, I hope that your body and mind and your royal associates and paraphernalia are well. When the seven properties of material nature, the total material energy, the ego, and the five objects of sense gratification are in proper order, the living entity within the material elements is happy. Without these seven elements, one cannot exist. Similarly, a king is always protected by seven elements: his instructor, Swami or Guru, his ministers, his kingdom, his fort, his treasury, his royal order, and his friends." Purport. As is quoted by Sridhar Swami in his Bhagavatam commentary, "Swam yamatyao janapada dorga dravina sanchaya dandamitram chatasyaita sapta prakritayo mataha." The king is not alone. First he has his spiritual master, the supreme guide. Then come his ministers, his kingdom, his fortifications, his treasury, his system of law and order, and his friends or allies. If these seven are properly maintained, the king is happy. Similarly, as explained in the Bhagavad Gita, "Deinosminita dehe," the living entity, the soul, is within the material coverings of the Mahatattva, ego, and Pancha Tanmatra, the five objects of sense gratification. When these seven are in proper order, the living entity is in a mood of pleasure. Generally, when the associates of the king are quiet and obedient, the king can be happy. Therefore, the great sage Angira Rishi inquired about the king's personal health and the good fortune of his seven associates. When he inquired from a friend whether everything is well, we are concerned not only with his personal self, but also with his family, his source of income, and his assistants or servants. All of them must be well, and then a person can be happy. Once again. Angira vacha apite namayam swasti prakritinam tatatmanaha ita prakriti virgupta pulan raja chasaptivi. The great sage Angira said, "My dear king, I hope that your body and mind and your royal associates and paraphernalia are well. When the seven properties of material nature, the total material energy, the ego, and the five objects of sense gratification are in proper order, the living entity within the material elements is happy. Without these seven elements, one cannot exist. Similarly, a king is always protected by seven elements: his instructor, Swami or Guru, his ministers, his kingdom, his fort, his treasury, his royal order, and his friends." Namo Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvisesa Shunivari Vaskadya Dezatarane. This is a description of how to be happy from the material point of view. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "Raga dvesha vimuktaistu vishan indriyascharan atma vaishara videyatma prasadam adugachati." That by following the regular principles of freedom, everyone can become free from all attachment and aversion and thus obtain the full mercy of the Supreme Lord. Naisti buddhiyuktasya prasadam adiga prasadam sarva dukanam haneris yopajayate prasadam chetasa yasu buddhi paryavatishtate. The one who is so situated, the threefold miseries of material existence exist no longer, and in such a satisfied state, one's intelligence soon becomes steady. Naisti buddhiyuktasya Nacha yuktasya bhavanaha, nacha bhavyantak shantir, ashantasya sutaksukam. Kutaksukam. Therefore, one who's not in transcendental happiness, transcendental consciousness, can have neither a controlled mind nor a steady intelligence, without which there is no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness without peace? In the material world, one is seeking for happiness by trying to make arrangements whereby things are seemingly under control. Under control means that those things which cause miseries are eliminated, and those things which afford happiness, they're accumulated. But as we can see, that material happiness is not very easy to come by. Here it says seven elements have to be in order, and then there is some possibility of happiness in the material world. So from the ordinary point of view, the point of view of an ordinary person, this body has to be properly maintained. According to Ayurveda, there are different primeval elements that circulate within the body, known as Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. And these elements, which are subtler than our gross material body, they represent the element of, Vata represents the element of activity within this material world. So activity means everything is changing, and by Vata's control, everything changes also within our body. Adjustments are made. And Pitta represents the primeval element of transformation. Transformation means, for instance, we eat food, and the food which was previously foreign to our body has to be transformed into something which is compatible with our body. So that transformation is governed by Pitta within the body. Similarly, we may have some thought, but the thought may be different from our conception or what's compatible with us, and therefore that thought somehow or another has to be digested. So Pitta or Agni is also in charge of that assimilation of that idea or conception. Some ideas we may be attached to too much, and therefore it causes some disturbance in the mind, and some idea we may be averse to, and that it will also dwell on and cause some disturbance. So according to one's ability to absorb different ideas, they may cause some disturbance or not. And Kapha represents that element within the body which provides for the changes that go on as well as the assimilations to go on. For instance, we may have a fire, we may want to offer some food or some offering into a fire. But for that offering to be properly assimilated, or for instance, we'll take the example of the stomach, we may want to offer some food into the stomach, but the stomach has to be in a healthy condition. We'll take another example of a fireplace, which can be a little bit more detached from. The fireplace has to be clean. If it's full of soot, if it's not very clean, then there's not enough space for the air in the fireplace, then the result will be that whatever offering you make into the fire will not burn properly. And instead of getting heat from the fire, what will happen is that one will get more soot or more impurities in the fireplace. Therefore, it will become more and more difficult to burn, because it requires both proper heat, the passing of air, because without air, without proper fuel, without proper energy to burn that fuel, the result is more and more difficulty. It's not heat or light being produced, but simply more and more impurities. Similarly, in every level of the body, unless these primeval elements are properly imbalanced, there's enough subtle and gross air, the air is in the body, if they're passing properly, then there's enough air to heat up the power of digestion, Agni or Pitta within the body. And if the structure is proper to maintain the combination of Pitta and Vata in the body, namely if Kapha is properly balanced in the body on all levels, then the result is that the body is able to assimilate ideas and food and grow in strength. But this is not very easy to maintain because, number one, due to ignorance, people don't know how to properly maintain their bodies. People don't know what to eat, what to hear, what to do. Therefore, it is very difficult for people to maintain themselves in a healthy state of mind and consciousness and body. So we find people are generally very fearful because they don't know what to do because they're in ignorance. So similarly, we can see the modern politicians, they also don't know what to do. They don't have a proper, their guides are fools. Their fortifications are not very good. Their treasury, they're everyone's in debt. Or is it a question of treasury? When you don't have everything you owe. The ministers, more or less the ministers, the guides, the kingdom, everything is not very properly balanced. So in present society, everyone is fearful. They don't know if they're going to be unemployed the next moment. There's no security whether they'll even get anything to eat. They don't know what the direction of life is. Andarya tandera upagiyamanas. Tepisha tantra uru dami bada. That they're blind leaders who they themselves don't know what's to be done or what's not to be done. Pravitim cha, nivritim cha, jananavidur asura. Because they're asuras, therefore they don't know what is priviti, what is to be done, and nivriti, what is not to be done. They have no conception. And they can't assimilate real knowledge. Because, number one, even if they hear real knowledge, this is quite rare for them, I'm sure, they can't even assimilate it and see its relevancy. And their whole structure is wrong. The whole structure is based upon sense gratification. Therefore, everywhere we find there, people are encouraged to gamble away their money, to take intoxication, etc. So the very structure of society is wrong. People are engaged in anarthas, working hard to make money for sense gratification, and they're producing other things for sense gratification which is sinful, such as alcohol, different types of useless commodities like these modern cars and movies, spending so much money, and the real necessities of life, namely agricultural protection, cultivation, protection of the cows, maintenance of clean water and fresh air. These things are neglected. So the very structure of society is imbalanced. The activities are imbalanced. Their understandings of things are imbalanced. So throughout the whole society, there's complete imbalance. And the result is that people are not happy. Both physically, mentally, their capacity to understand things is all imbalanced, and externally it is also imbalanced because there are no real leaders. Therefore, they don't know how to properly arrange society, and people don't even know how to properly arrange their own lives. Therefore, the result is, just like from the Ayurvedic point of view, if you're imbalanced and you continue to do the same things that cause you imbalance, the result is eventually you'll be dead. So similarly, eventually society will simply kill itself by its current direction. Therefore, it's the duty of the Krishna consciousness movement not primarily to learn how to keep ourselves healthy, although we can understand that unless we are healthy, unless we have a body to work with, it'll be very difficult to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. But we want to aim at instructing people in general, what is the purpose of life, what is the direction to take, what is to be done and what is not to be done, what is the real knowledge of life, and how to create a society by which these things can easily and nicely be executed. Prabhupada once said that our Krishna, or he writes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that the aim of our Krishna consciousness movement is to spread the chanting of the holy names of Krishna and to create an atmosphere by which this can, people will be able to become receptive to the holy name. So this is the same idea. Creating the atmosphere is just like creating the proper structure and giving people the, which will give people the opportunity to assimilate the holy name, to derive actual benefit from it, to actually get transcendental nourishment from it, and therefore be able to understand and appreciate what is Krishna consciousness, what is the value of associating with Krishna through chanting his holy name. So for that, we have so much philosophy. Ramananda Roy, when he was speaking to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he began to speak of the Vana Ashram system, a scientific system by which people's energies can be properly directed, they can be organized, so that the basic necessities of life can be easily obtained, and obtained the necessities of a good quality, of a superior quality, which will actually produce higher consciousness, higher intelligence. They can be obtained, the necessity of life, namely food, water, clean air, etc., could be obtained relatively easily, without much effort, in a pure way, which will not imbalance the ecological system or the relationships between people. They can be obtained in sufficient quantities, in a sufficiently comfortable way, easy way. And at the same time, people can be properly guided, both in their occupation and in their religious life, so that gradually their consciousness can increase and therefore they can understand what is the goal of life. But when Ramananda Roy expressed this to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he rejected this idea as being incomplete. Because as we can see, although in modern society things are in balance, but still, at least at the present moment, food, shelter are, for the majority of people, easily available. Or available, at least. Well, they're easily available. But they're available. And yet people are not satisfied. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Roy to go further, and he went on to explain renunciation of the material, renunciation of one's material goods, karma yoga, jnana yoga, renunciation of the material conception of life, understanding that we're not this body. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected all of these things as being incomplete, because we find that even one becomes detached from his material situation, still that will not produce complete satisfaction. As Prabhupada used to point out, the hippies in the 60s and 70s, they were relatively unattached to the material situation, but still they were not satisfied. Therefore, they took to more and more intoxication, illicit sex life, and eventually, in most parts of the world, just disappeared. They could not become completely free from the tendency to be happy, to want to enjoy, and therefore, although they rejected some type of material enjoyment, ultimately they took to other types of material enjoyment. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only began to accept Ramananda Roy's instructions when he said, Gyane priyasam udapastanamanta eva, that one should give up this tendency towards mental speculation. Gyane priyasam udapasta namanteva. Put this tendency far aside and become a little submissive. So what is this tendency towards mental speculation? Is to think something is real outside of the philosophy Krishna gives in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. Anarto pasamam sakshat bhakti yoga ahoksajam. This anartha This is the one has to give up this tendency towards anartha. Anartha pasamam sakshat bhakti yoga adhokshaja. This anartha means to think ourselves other than Krishna's eternal servant, to have any conception other than that, and to become attached either on the gross level or on the subtle level. On the gross level, there is fear of inadequacy in the matter of eating, sleeping, mating, defending. And on the subtle level, there is the desire for profit, adoration, distinction. As long as one is remaining attached to these ideas, then this is called anartha, and one will always be imbalanced. Because one may work hard to meet the necessities of life, but ultimately these are very difficult to come by, and that way to always be satisfied on every level completely, this is not possible. Therefore, again, a priyasam, give up this understanding that we're something other than Krishna's servant, ultimately thinking ourselves to be God. And namanteva, become a little submissive, thinking oneself to be a servant of who? Yane priyasam rupasa namanta eva. That one should hear from these self-realized souls. Variant, let's see. Yane priyasam sudapasta namanta eva. Vivanti sanmukarita bhavidiyam varata. One should hear from persons who actually have transcendental realization, who have transcendental knowledge, because if we do that, then the result will be that one will also be able to get real direction in life. One will be able to see things properly. And by seeing things properly, then gradually, nanyam gunevyas kartaram jasta eva nupashati. This pashati, which means to see things properly, Krishna says then, gradually the modes of material nature will cease. That for one who sees things properly, gradually the influence of the three modes of material nature will cease. Danyan gunevyas kartaram drasta eva nupashanti gunevyas japaram veti madbhavam sodigachati. And the result is when the modes of material nature gradually cease, when we act properly, when we understand things and then act properly, then the result is that madbhavam adigachati, gradually obtained to be qualitatively equal to Krishna. Our real spiritual consciousness becomes manifest and we're able to understand how to associate with Krishna, or we get the association of Krishna. We obtain Krishna's association. So by hearing from those who have spiritual consciousness and knowledge, who actually can give us proper direction, both on the material as well as on the spiritual platform, by following their instructions, then gradually one makes progress towards becoming free from the clutches of the modes of material nature, as well as the reawakening of one's spiritual consciousness. And stane sita shutigatam tanumang vangmanobhir. It is not necessary to change our material situation. It is not that we have to give up our family or give up our present service or occupation. Stane sita, one can remain in any position, but tanuvangvanovir, shuti gatam, one has to hear with the idea of serving, following with his body, mind, and words. And the result is, ye priyasam, jita ditok, taistri lokyam. That Krishna, he reveals himself to such a person. And if only if Krishna reveals himself to us, only if Krishna and his eternal associates reveal themselves, can we actually become happy. Can we actually find a situation of perfect balance? Can we find a situation beyond the clutches of birth, death, old age, and disease, the afflictions of this subtle body, of the subtle material body, and the gross material body? Only when we enter onto that platform of experience, of consciousness, can we actually find peace and happiness. Any other platform will simply result ultimately in ignorance, loss of understanding, misidentification of ourselves with the gross and subtle body, and therefore consequent suffering to different degrees. Therefore, this Krishna consciousness movement is not trying to push anything else except for Krishna consciousness. We're not trying to promote vegetarianism, or we're not trying to become psychologists or whatever else maybe the current fad within society as being advertised as being elevated. We're simply introducing the eternal conception that if someone becomes Krishna conscious, then all his problems are solved. Of course, we don't deny that there are different levels of activity, and that it's certainly better to act in the mode of goodness than in the mode of passion or ignorance. We don't deny that certain necessities of this material body have to be met, such as, for instance, we have to eat. Our Krishna consciousness movement is not so naive that we simply tell people come to the spiritual platform immediately, because no one will come to the spiritual platform immediately. Therefore, the real necessities of life have to be provided for, but not to complicate things unnecessarily. The real necessity of life is to get something to eat and to have some shelter and some clean water, fresh air, etc. These are the real necessities of life, and if we can meet them as simply as possible, the better, so that one's consciousness will not be disturbed by, or one's Krishna consciousness will not be disturbed by unnecessary endeavor. Atyahara priyasascha prajalpo niyamagraha. This priyasa, unnecessary endeavor, the things that aren't really necessary. Accumulating money and then trying to figure out how to spend it for sense gratification. What we ultimately want to do is understand how to maintain the body as simply as possible, and at the same time be satisfied by being in Krishna consciousness. And if we're not satisfied by being in Krishna consciousness, then we'll undoubtedly seek satisfaction by sense gratification, which will simply diminish our Krishna consciousness. And the result of sense gratification, one actually is on that path, he'll become more and more dissatisfied as his material body becomes more and more, and mind becomes more and more disturbed by such activities. And ultimately, if you have a whole society of disturbed people, then of course you have a disturbed society. Therefore, simultaneously, we want to understand how to live simply. Simply doesn't mean primitively. It means to be satisfied with the real necessities of life and not seek after things that are unnecessary. And at the same time, gain real satisfaction by learning how to come to the spiritual platform of becoming conscious of Krishna. Krishna, his name, his form, his qualities, his activities, his associates, their loving exchanges, how to become conscious of these things, experience them on the transcendental platform. So this is the aim of our movement. And at the same time, we have to become a little aware of how to live simply as possible and engage ourselves strictly in the business of Krishna consciousness. For instance, we've seen that many householders, as soon as they want more than the necessities of life, they want a more and more comfortable situation, they want their child educated in the material universities, as soon as their life becomes more and more in this direction, their ability to attend the program diminishes, their ability to hear and chant about Krishna diminishes, and they become more and more convinced, more and more dependent upon the activities of sense gratification. They think that this is actually a good direction in life. Let us get a more and more bigger home, further away from the temple, get more and more facilities so we can go to India every year and visit the holy places like Bombay and Agra, the Taj Mahal. You know, and go to the places where the holy plants, like different types of intoxicating plants, grow, and take this as a pilgrimage. And yes, we'll stop in at the temple and see the deity. Therefore, one has to see that if our aim of our Krishna consciousness movement is to be conscious of Krishna, and for that we have to also try to distribute Krishna consciousness to others. It is not that we should simply be selfish, want to have Krishna for ourselves, and not see ourselves as an instrument for Krishna to spread Krishna consciousness. Because as soon as one does that, as soon as he stops hearing and chanting about Krishna and seeing his energies as his family, his wife, his children, their paraphernalia, as being part of Krishna's energy, as soon as they think that is for my enjoyment, then the result is they forget Krishna. And Krishna's enjoyment means to somehow or another engage our energies in preaching Krishna consciousness. Preaching Krishna consciousness, of course, means that the wife, the children, they should be educated in Krishna consciousness. A husband should be educated in Krishna consciousness, so they should come to the temple as much as possible. They should have programs at their house. They should worship the deity. Their children should be educated in Krishna consciousness, etc. And then things can be balanced. Then it's possible to live properly and not hanker for sense gratification, gross or subtle. So, we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Yes. Well, at least it's Krishnaized. If they just played rock music, it would certainly be worse. So there's some element that's Krishna conscious there. But rock music is generally simply the modes of ignorance and passion. Therefore, there's some element of the mode of ignorance and passion there. Rock music generally is meant for those who are not quite Krishna conscious, to encourage them, to make the pill of Krishna consciousness to them a little sweeter. But unfortunately, we are also in the modes of ignorance and passion, and therefore these things appeal to us. But it's certainly not very good to fight with the devotees over that, because that's also in the modes of ignorance and passion. So better these things are discussed in a peaceful way, you know, and some accommodation is made. Of course, our movement, we're cooking, generally when you're talking about the kitchen, the idea is that it's going to be offered to Krishna. So Krishna likes love and devotion, spiritual love and devotion. And therefore, it's generally better to play tapes of Prabhupada, of course, or other devotees singing in a loving way towards offering to Krishna. More on the mode of transcendental goodness, because that will help us in our meditation on Radha and Krishna, on Radha Gopinath, rather than our meditation of our previous life's activities, which were less than devotional. But generally these things should be worked out in a way that's a little bit peaceful and doesn't result in the offering being spoiled by any things that were undesirable. Anything else? Yes. You can't make advancement if you're too peaceful. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. I was wondering how that works. Actually, if the person is so advanced that
Krishna
may have many different reasons for testing a devotee. But Krishna says, Dhiryas Tatra Namuyate. The whole aim is to think of Krishna, to associate with Krishna through Krishna Smarana, through remembering him. Because remembering Krishna means to associate with him. If one associates with Krishna in the spiritual world, he becomes ecstatic. He becomes, his consciousness increases, and consciousness increases in a loving, ecstatic way. So that's the very essence of what everyone's searching for. And since it's Anandam Buddhivardhanam Patipanam Purnamritasvadhanam, because it's an ocean of happiness always increasing, therefore, that itself is encouraging, unlimitedly encouraging. That the more one acts in Krishna consciousness on the spiritual platform, the more he becomes full of transcendental happiness and enthusiasm. But to come to that platform, we have to become detached from the material platform. Because as long as we're attached to the material platform, then we're adhira. We're not sober. We lose our intelligence. Therefore, tests sometimes help us see the miseries of material existence, and therefore help us become detached and train ourselves up for the time of death when the greatest miseries will afflict us, and therefore we'll have to be quite elevated in Krishna consciousness, quite able to come to remain ourselves on the spiritual platform despite any kind of material disturbance. But we don't have to worry about, generally most of us don't have to worry about being too peaceful. Especially in Kali Yuga, there's always some disturbance from our body, from other living entities, from the society, from something will cause disturbance. And therefore there's no question of being too peaceful. Except generally we may have some tendency towards the mode of ignorance. There may be some lethargy due to the mode of ignorance, but that's not really the peace that Krishna is talking about. That's just being dull. Dull-headed. So we shouldn't be dull-headed. We shouldn't be passionate. We should try to understand things clearly, soberly, not to make things too simplistic. That's, simplicity is good, but simplicity comes through realization, through deep understanding. Then we'll be able to adjust our lives in such a way as that even there may be some difficulty, we won't completely fall apart because there's no structure behind what we're doing. It's simply some whimsical, we're mostly living on the mental understanding, mental conception of what is Krishna consciousness, but there's no real deep realization. Therefore, on that level, when there is some disturbance, we fall apart because there's no underlying structure to our Krishna consciousness. It's based upon mostly our mental conceptions of what is Krishna consciousness. So for that, in the beginning, one generally has to be a little humble and try and understand things from many different points of view, and then try to work on that, try to arrange his life according to that, a well-balanced conception. And then if there's some difficulty, one won't be so shaken. Anything else? Is that all right? Yeah.
Don't have proper consciousness, and then the problems are coming.
didati prati grinati guyam akiti prichiti bhunte bo jayate chayvam shadvidam priti lakshana. One should offer gifts in charity, receive charitable gifts, reveal one's mind in confidence, and inquire confidentially. One should offer prasadam and accept prasadam. So these are different symptoms of love shared by one devotee to another. But Rupa Goswami doesn't stop there. He says, Krishneti asi girita manasedriyeta dikshasti chat pranati vischa vajantam yusham shushu shivicha vajantam ananya anya vigyati sunya ridayam ipsita sangalabhya. One should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name. One should assist those devotees, offer obeisances to them who are engaged in serving the deities. And one should serve that advanced devotee who is completely absorbed in devotional service and whose heart is devoid of the propensity to criticize others. So we have to learn how to discriminate between different devotees, what level they're on, and act in a positive way in Krishna consciousness in relationship to them. So our first business is to remember that they are devotees of Krishna, that they have an eternal relationship with Krishna, just like I do. And because I'm Krishna's servant, I should learn how to properly serve them according to their level of advancement. So I should seek intimate association with those who are more advanced than I am, but I should respect in every way those who are on the same level that I'm on, or on a lower level. I should respect them within my mind, although my intimate association with them, with those devotees, or who I should intimately associate in terms of the six different exchanges with those who are more advanced than I am, or at least on an equal level. But that doesn't mean I shouldn't serve prasadam to those who are guests or neophyte devotees, etc. It just means that I shouldn't, for those who are on the same level, or I should say, for those who are on a lower level than I am, I shouldn't necessarily take what they say as the absolute truth. Generally, I should take guidance from those who are superior in elevation than I am, who have more experience, who have more, can refer more to the scriptural authority. To them I should more or less direct my life according to their directions. And therefore I should learn how to serve the other devotees by being guided by them. But I should try to see through their guidance how the other devotees are also engaged in devotional service, even the most neophyte devotee, and appreciate that engagement, that service that they're rendering. There's no, as Prabhupada writes in the Nectar of Instruction, there's no room for jealousy in the Krishna consciousness movement. And therefore, if I'm feeling jealous or envious of another devotee, or if I'm disregarding them and not properly treating them, I should understand that that's not Krishna consciousness. And it's not due to the other devotee's fault, it's due to my own impurities. Therefore, my first business is to correct myself. And if I correct myself, probably the other person will naturally correct himself too, or herself. Yes.
Sometimes it's difficult to find out on what level is the person. It is,
well, then you should treat everyone as, if you don't know who's on what level, then you should probably read the books, try and listen, so you can find out what the symptoms are. Just like, for instance, if you don't know something, then you have to study the characteristics. Here is fire. The characteristics is that it gives off heat and light. If you touch it, you'll burn. It'll burn you. So it has characteristics, and according to the characteristics, you know how to deal with it. So these books, they give us the characteristics, for instance, of the Prakriti Sahajiyas, what their symptoms are, what their mentality is, what their activities and philosophy is. Similarly, we know that what the symptoms of a Madhyama Adhikari are, how he's engaged in serving the deity, how he's engaged in chanting the holy name, his according to the prescribed number of rounds that were given to him by his spiritual master, how he's engaged in preaching work. So if someone has these symptoms according to the Shastra, and if I learn what those symptoms are, then I'll know who's a Madhyama Adhikari. And as far as an advanced devotee, I can understand that anyone who's more advanced than I am, who's serving more consistently, more intensely than I am, then he's more advanced. How much more advanced he is, that I may not know immediately. But just like, for instance, if you're not feeling well and you go to a doctor, at least you know that he has more training than you do in medicine. How good a doctor he is, you learn by following, by taking his medicine, by following his instructions, and then if you get better, then you know he's how much more advanced than he is, than you are, at least. You know it works. And as far as how much, who's on what level, then you have, you may have to follow different people's instructions, and then you get some idea, at least, who's the best for you, who's more advanced than others. But anyone, as Prabhupada writes in Nectar of Instruction, who knows more than you do about devotional service, he can be taken as guru. How much, who, and who's the best of all the gurus, that you have to find out for yourself by experience and by understanding symptoms. But of course, for a neophyte devotee, he's not going to be able to. If he's neophyte, that means he doesn't have vision. So he has to become qualified. So Shastra says, live in the association of devotees, prepare to do, to accept whatever austerity is necessary so you can live in their association. Follow the principles of tapasya brahmacharyena samena cha damena cha. Become austere, celibate, control your mind and senses, utilize them in Krishna's service. Become inquisitive to understand this philosophy. Follow the instructions that are given to you. Don't simply make devotional services like a show. And try to understand inquisitively what is this Krishna consciousness. Understand the transcendental subject matter and give up other types of mundane conceptions or desires to make advancement in mundane ways. Then if one does that, then gradually he'll get some vision and understand. He'll qualify himself to understand who's on what level of devotional service. So it's up to one, to train himself to actually become qualified to understand. If I think I'm just going to accept a spiritual master and then I don't have to worry about anything. No, the spiritual master is simply to help one to qualify himself so one can actually understand things. But before one should accept a spiritual master, one should find out what is a spiritual master. Therefore, even at the beginning, there are so many guides, people who are more intelligent than we are, more experienced than we are in Krishna consciousness. So we should learn these things from them. And then when we actually understand what the qualifications of a disciple are, what the qualifications of a spiritual master are, when we can actually begin to see things more discern things more intelligently, then we can accept a spiritual master who can further guide us to becoming more advanced ourselves. At least we have to come to the Madhyama Adhikari platform, because it's only on that platform that one can actually begin spiritual life. The Madhyama Adhikari platform, where one loves Krishna, he serves Krishna out of love, he makes friendship with the devotees, he tries to raise the innocent, and he avoids those who are against Krishna. Only from that platform his spiritual life can be executed. But if one has some material reason for serving, if one has some ill feelings towards the devotees, finds it difficult to associate with them, if he's not very interested in helping those who are innocent, and he actually has association by reading literature written by non-devotees or even by associating with them, then that's not, he hasn't really begun spiritual life yet. Although he should go on executing the activities of devotional service, and undoubtedly one day he'll come to that platform. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.